Yes, is that Sam?
Yes, it is. How you doing today, man?
I'm all right, man. Literally, you know what's funny? I just come off the phone, man, and I turned on my day. I'm like, boy, I'm already late.
That's good. That's good, man. Hey, if you don't mind, I'm working out some tech. Do you hear like a echo?
No, not at all. But I do know on WhatsApp there is a delay. Oh, hold on. As I speak, yes, now I can hear some sort of echo.
Okay. So let's do this. I'm adjusting my stuff because, you know, our tech with WhatsApp, there is a delay. I was trying to plan for the delay. So let's try it now.
All right, testing. 1, 2, 1, 2. Can I hear echo? Can I hear echo? I can't hear no echo. No echo at all.
All right, so we good. All right.
You just did that? Like, you took care of that?
Yes, sir.
All right, okay.
Oh, we've been in the game for a while, man. This is our 10th year, man. We want to have some people. We just want to treat them right. You know what it is?
To another 100 years, man. To another 100 years.
I'll take that, man. If you don't mind, let's just jump right into it. Let's just have some fun with this. Mainly because I'm keeping you up late. I know.
No, you're good, man. You're good.
The time delay, and I get it, man. When we record, what are you guys, like 5 hours ahead of us?
I think, so it's 6 p.m. over there now, so that, yes, you're right, five.
So I know, so that's why I don't want to eat up too much of your time, too much of your sleep, but one thing I did want to talk about, I got a chance to kind of listen to, and I can say this now, BBC Track of the Month artists in the Paul Sandu. Now, I listened to it, I've listened to the Collindale tape, and I just want to jump right into it. The one you got the award for is Cold. I like the song. It's raw. It's vulnerable. And borderline brave to release something so personal, man. What came from that, man?
First of all, it's even nice, Sam, that you acknowledge the song in such a way. Because it was easy to write, but it was hard to release, you know? It was just, oh man, that was like an amalgamation of just a terrible season, man. Like, I'll say it like this, right? So, I've been doing music full time now for like 4 years and a bit, coming up to five. And it's been the best time of life, but it's been the worst time of life. It's forced me to look inside, you know, so much. Because you can get annoyed by a situation. So, for instance, my experience of the industry, just my experience in the pursuit of my dreams and the nurturing of my gift. It's been quite taxing, but I can look at the situation or the situations and get mad, or I can say like, what needs to change in me? You know, what needs to change in me? I need to look, I need to examine myself. Where am I falling short, or what am I not doing right? And I just remember that stage in life, man. Like, so I've been going through this thing called music, period. You know, all the ups and downs. I'm like, on one minute, I'm sharing the same stage as, you know, or performing at the same festival as Michelle Williams for like 6 hours before I'm on stage, bro. I'm sleeping in an abandoned car park, you know. Because we didn't have no money, bro. We didn't have no money. So the plan was, so I'm in London. Manchester's like another city, like, you know, I don't know, I think like 6-7 hours drive away. So we got coach there, because that's cheapest as well. Boom, did the coach thing now. My genius plan, Sam, was to sleep in the train station. But when we got there, guess what? The train station was closed, bro. So we had nowhere to sleep. So we had to find like an abandoned car park, you know, roll up the shutters. The maintenance man was kicking us in the morning. Not kicking us, but he's like, yo, you need to get out of here. He thought we was, you know, on drugs or something or whatever. And then 6 hours later, you know, I'm looking all clean and all nice and did that on stage. But people have no idea. That's just a small snapshot into what just the journey of music's been like, you know, smoke and mirrors. My grandma passed away. I became her carer. You know, I had somewhat of a failed relationship. And ultimately, like, there was just a breaking down of myself. You know, there was just every bump on the road got more and more and more and more intense, you know. And I just retreated, man. I just retreated. I believe in God, you know, and I feel like I was broken down in that time, you know, so that I can have a contrite heart, you know, that there is no room for pride. And I think that's why, that's what gave way for me to be vulnerable and releasing it. Cause like I said, it was easy to write, but it was hard to release.
Honestly, man, I know the feeling. I don't know how deep you went with the podcast, but my mom just recently passed too, so I know those feelings.
I'm so sorry to hear that, man.
Appreciate that. But I know those feelings where the hurts hurt a little bit more, or it's not, you're in the world that you don't create. Everything about your world just turned upside down, and you just kind of you live with it now. So I totally understand that. But one of the cool things about, now I want to say cool, I mean, like, that passion, that drive, and that every emotion that you're feeling jumped into this track, and a lot on the five tracks on the Collindale tape, mainly because I'm dead serious. I mean, like, every song is, I mean, there is, you was going through something. Let's just put it like that. I mean, pretty self-explanatory. Now, Cole was the rawest one, but for anyone to see you emerge as an artist, and I'm going to jump into this, but I was kind of like doing my history a little bit, rocking with you from Money Ain't a Thing, and we're going to get into that. But what I'm saying is, when you compare the two now, this is more, I'm curious. I only assume the thing that inspired Cole inspired the whole Collindale tape, but how do you feel that it different from your previous releases?
So what I'm doing right now, Sam, that's a very good question. What I'm doing right now, Sam, I feel like I'm walking the length and the breadth of what is in me to do. You know, I listen to a wide range of music, but before Money Ain't a Thing, I had a tape called the hashtag iPaul EP. Now that was like real old school hip hop, you know, Big Pun, Big L, that kind of sounds. But that's how I started music, you know. That's how I entered the music, doing the old school hip hop kind of vibe. But on the first tape, I didn't have a singing tune, so I've always wanted to sing, man. I've always wanted to sing, but the vulnerability and the innocence that I feel singing requires of one, I just didn't have in me, you know. So hip hop and those kind of other sounds, you know, was what kind of empowered me, you know, gave me that muscle to even get up on the stage to say, yo, what's up, you know, and really, really, really deal with being underestimated, because especially when you spit bars, man, the last face you expect is mine. You don't have, there's not many Indian faces out there doing this thing, period. Whether you singing or you spitting bars, either way. But to go back to Money Ain't a Thing, so I started off doing old school hip hop, and then I was like, you know what? Oh man, okay, cool. Like, I got more confidence, I got more muscle, let's go. So I started singing a little bit, not like Cole, not like the Collindale tape, but just a little bit, you know? I put my foot in the water, and then, you know, that got track of the week by the BBC again. And then it got track of the month. That was the first time I got track of the month. And I was like, whoa, okay, this got, man, even if, I believe in God, like I said, but even if I didn't, this has got to be a sign. I'm onto something here. I've tapped into a new part of my thing. So that's what Money Ain't a Thing was, man. Money Ain't a Thing was just a little bit more confidence and really doing what I wanted to do. Yeah.
But one thing about your music, whether it be Money Ain't a Thing when you were straight up rapping, or if it's now the Collindale tape. Now, I don't know if you know this. I hope so, because you wrote these. But you've always had one foot in the secular, one foot in the spiritual. Now, granted, you've grown up with multi-faiths, whether it been Sikh, whether it been Christianity, whatever it was growing up, there was always a reflection of that in your music. So, I mean, like, one thing that, like how you said, you made the jump to sing, how you didn't have those obstacles, or you didn't have those vulnerabilities or anxieties, I think you always had them, and this is coming from a fan. So if you think I'm wrong, just tell me I'm wrong. But this is coming from a guy who just sat down and listened. I think those vulnerabilities was always there. Now, I could take this in the spiritual realm because, all right, wait. In the spiritual realm, the fact that you crossed over is one thing, to jump from Sikh to Christian. But one thing I wanted to, I just always wanted to know the answer to this question, because this is such a non sequitur, but I feel as though, since I'm talking to you right now, I heard, and this is a rumor, correct me if I'm wrong, This all started because your pastor announced he was putting on a show and wanted you to write and perform the theme song. This is way before we found out you have skills. He just thought, hey, you right there. Come on, do it.
Yep.
So what I guess what I'm getting at is, from day one, your music has always been, regardless of whatever you was going through, has always been a smooth mix of chill rap and a hint of gospel. It always, like I said, one foot in, one foot out. And is that a reflection of faith, or is that, I guess at the time you wasn't paying attention, maybe a little bit you were naive to what you were dealing with, or like a combination of it all?
I think it's a combination of where I was at the so I think every tape has it, or every sound that I've come out with has come from its the season that I was in. So my first tape, hashtag I Paul EP, I'd just become a Christian around those times. So it wasn't enough for me to just now say, hey everybody, I'm a Christian. I felt in myself, I had to assert myself through my talent. Which I didn't even know was a talent at the time, kind of thing. But boom, I did that. And then as I kind of progressed, because Money Ain't a Thing, again, that came out of a season. Man, we were so broke. Sam, when we made that track, we didn't have nothing but birthday cake in the fridge to eat. We was in there 10 hours just eating birthday cake. And I was making sure I was cutting the cake smooth so it would last, you know. My friend even had to send me the money, the bus money, you know. He had to send that over by a transfer for me to even get to the studio that day. I was broke, but that was a song I used to sing to myself to encourage myself. So I think it was a combination of where I was standing at the moment and where I was going. So I wouldn't even put a title of, I don't know, you know, like secular, gospel, or anything like that. What I would say is just what I'm feeling and seeing and hearing in the season that I'm in. Because Colin Del Tape, like you rightly picked up, I was going through some stuff, man. I was really going through some stuff, so I put it on the song.
So now I'm going to ask a question. This is a very hack question. I'll be the first one to tell you. But I feel there are some people who don't know who you are, and this is their first introduction into you by listening to it on the podcast. Okay.
Yeah, shout out to yourself. Thank you for having me as well.
Oh, yeah, man. I know the answer to this question, but it's so obvious. Anyone who listens to this question. But I feel like I have to ask it. And that question is, have you ever faced discrimination or obstacles that you've been faced when you decided to convert to Christianity or become a singer? Go ahead.
Bro, discrimination across the board. So, yeah, when I became a Christian, it's like, it's just funny, man. I felt like
I told you it was a hack question.
Bruh. Like my Indian, Asian car. We call like Indian and Pakistani people here Asian. In London, UK. So it's like my Asian card, you know, kind of got revoked. But it's funny that I watched that because my song Money and the Thing was track of the week on BBC Asian Network. So it's funny, the same mountain that I was thrown off, I was put back on, and it's south. So there's always been I'm still going to get into the discrimination, but just to put a quick caveat, there's always been a restoration and a stylish restoration or promotion at the end of it. But yeah, bro, I've been to like video sets, you know, I'm on the set for my music video, you know, and people thinking that I am the cameraman, you know, just all across the board, even from Christians, I had some weird stuff. So like sometimes I'll be at a church, I'm sitting there to perform with everybody else, and I remember one dude was like, yo, like, what are you doing here? And I was like, what do you think I'm doing here? This is where the people that they're gonna touch the mic are sitting. And that's happened at, no matter where I perform, cause my style, my sound doesn't match up to what you see. But I love that. The very thing that I feel that could discredit me, and this is a principle for everybody, I'm getting passionate, you can hear it now, but.
Oh, go ahead.
The very thing that we feel discredits us is what distinguishes us. And that is what will make us stand out. That's what, it's a given. But yeah, man, like, the fact that I was singing, I remember people saying, like, where you going with this? Bro, don't even do the music thing. That's long. Oh, you're going to fall off. Or this is a waste of time. Bro, because I was working with young people at the time, Sam, you know, when I chose to do music full time. And I was making good money, man. Real good money. very good money doing that. And I just quit that, man. I just quit that. So, and people were like, yo, that's, people were like, don't, that's stupid, you know, just, it's just a bad move, man. You're messing with your money. But I still, you know, I took the jump and it's paid off. So, yeah, I kind of digressed there. But ultimately, on the point of digression, on it's discrimination. All
good. This show is made of digression. So you're good. You fit in right with the show.
All right. Part of the family now. Yeah, man. Like what we, you know, somebody could discriminate us for is really a point of distinction, you know. So, but it is funny, man. You just I love seeing the underestimation, you know, because really that's sometimes the discrimination's got some underestimation in it. They don't think that you could do this. That's why I choose to keep my full name. I could have some funky artist name, and shout out to every artist that does have a, you know, an artist name, but I'm not one of them. You know, my name needs to be my full name. You know, it needs to be my full name, because I know you have connotation, not you yourself. You're cool. I'm saying, like, appreciate the people that out there, you know. you already knew that, though, man. You already knew it's cool. But I'm saying, the people out there, they have their stereotypes. They have the things that they're inclined to think. And my name, you know, it just, bro, whatever an estimation and stereotype they have of an Indian, that's gonna get broken into pieces.
But I don't think it's just an Indian thing. I want to make that plain. I think it's
okay.
I think it's whatever that criticism comes from. I love asking this question because I asked you a hack question, and this is probably going to be the most intelligent question I ask the entire interview. But one thing I love talking about is the question, the enough question. So whatever your criticism is coming from, you have to answer that criticism of enough. Are you enough hip-hop? Are you enough of a singer? Are you enough of an Indian? Are you enough of an Asian? Are you enough? Whatever that is, that criticism is coming from somewhere. And have you ever had to either address that question? Like, whatever you're doing to that particular person isn't enough. And how do you address that?
I think it's more of a thought or a vibe I've picked up. It's never come out overtly. You know, I've never had like an Asian publication or, you know, a whole bunch of Asians saying like, yo fam, why don't you, you know, you're moving a bit mad or whatever it is. Or I've never had any like Christian publication or group of Christians come for me. It's always been a vibe kind of thing that I felt. And for the most part, I don't unless it's brought up to my attention like this, I see no need to address it. But I think it does go down to what you're saying in terms of, you know, are you enough? Are you enough? Are you enough? And I think those things come out of people's own inadequacies, you know, because you need to focus on yourself. You being figurative, but you need to focus on yourself. That's one thing that I'll say is a good thing out of the journey of music, that I'm learning not to take on people's thoughts, or like Encoder say, or what I think, or what you think, what I think you do, because that's crazy, because I can't think for you, kind of thing. Thinking about people and their thoughts is just, that's something I can get twisted up in, and just get caught up in, man. So I don't really think about those things, and it's never been brought up to me overtly, but. Man, I'll just tell those people, go listen to the music, man. Just go listen to the music and listen to it until it makes sense. And if you don't like it, put somebody else onto it. Otherwise, I don't know what to say to them, man.
No, that makes sense. Like I said, this is going to be probably the most intelligent question. And I feel bad because I'm looking at my notes because I know the next question. So it's going to get like extremely like weird radio-y. And I'm just like we getting deep, but watch this. The next question is like, a lot of your music is influenced by artists such as Metallica, Arctic Monkeys, Frank Ocean. Now, all of those
Sam,
artists...
You've been doing your research, man.
I do my homework, man. I tell you. If I'm going to take up your time, if I'm going to keep you up late, we're going to get into it, man.
All right.
If your music is fueled by those very different artists... Like, how does the recording sessions go? I'm very curious because those are coming from, and don't get me wrong, I am a fan of each one of those, but I would never imagine them in the same room together. So How does that fit as a guy yourself trying to channel all of those spirits? Sorry to get on religion too hard or spirituality, but you're trying to challenge all that energy into one project. Like, how?
It's so organic that it just flows. So, again, I did for a song and I think, because I like different melodies, you know. So like the tape after the Collindale tape, you know, my next tape is called the M-Step tape. I like each song has like 2 to 3 different aspects to it, and I like that because the way that I formulate the songs in my mind, not just the lyrics, but the way I want to sing them or the kind of feel and the essence that I want them to have. It's like, okay, cool, I'm going to sing this with a bit of rasp. I'm going to throw in a bit of, you know, high notes there. I'm going to do some weird stuff with your voice there. Let's have some comedy at this part, and so on and so forth. So it's kind of like sections. I think of them as sections, but it's very organic. I think the hardest part of it is the part that I don't have to deal with, and that's the music aspect of it. So it's also like my guitarist, Charles, and the band that I'm working with, Maryland Station, shout out to them. Bro, I annoy the ish out of them, man. I sit down with Charles and I'm like, okay, bro, hit me with this. Make it sound kind of nice. Okay, cool. Yeah. Real nice. Give me sexy strings. Make them sound really nice. Cool. All right, now switch it up. Give me some like ugly, really, some really. And he's looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about? But he makes it work somehow. You know, I think that's the hardest aspect of it.
You got a good crew behind you.
But it just flows, man. Bro, Sam, for real, my riches aren't on my wrist, on my neck. You know, my riches are truly my people, and I have some wonderful people around me, bro. All
right. Hey, you brought it up. You said on your wrist, your neck, your like, I know what you meant as a metaphor, but my next question is this. I did a little IG stalking because I like try to get those little curveball questions or just questions I just don't know. My man,
okay.
You have Die Empty tattoo across your chest. I'm curious, is there a meaning to that? What is the meaning to that? Please school me on that.
You saw that on my Instagram?
The boy stalks. I'm telling you.
The boy stalks. Yeah, for real. I'm thinking, what else you know, Sam? What else you know, man? Die Empty. The story behind that, I want to die empty, man. I don't want to die. I don't want to go to the grave. The grave can only get my flesh and my bones. It can't get any song. It can't get any book. Any film, anything for me. Everything that I was created, you know, to create must be created before I die. So I have to die empty.
No, that's something. It's like, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like anti-materialistic. You just give whatever you got when you're on this mortal coil. You just give everything there, and then when it's over, it's over.
Yeah, you know, but I'm not averse to, you know, having some nice things, you know. Definitely, like, I would like some, you know, I like to get some stuff. And my future, God willing, both of our future fam, and even for the listeners, you know, we're going to have some cool stuff in our futures. But I'm saying, ultimately, it's about the expression, the art, you know, the art that is in us. Because we all have some stuff inside of us, man, that we was created to birth. Mm-hmm. And we gotta give that to the world, man. We gotta give that. We gotta nurture that. And no, Jay-Z said this, you know. Everybody, like, there's a level of genius in all of us, None of us, and again, like I said, I believe in God. God doesn't make junk. Every single one of us has purpose and potential, and we must fulfill those things before we die. That's what I think.
All right, now I'm finna just shift gears. I'm gonna go to the other side of it. Now, we talked about anti-materialism. We talked about Die Empty, and you said you want to have nice things. And mm-hmm. as of right now, this may change tomorrow. This could change in a few minutes. I don't know how your life works. As of right now, what is the biggest flex you've done? I mean, you got some awards. you obviously have a following. Biggest flex right now.
The biggest flex. I don't know, man. You know, I'm pretty happy with track three being track of the month for the second time. You know, I never even thought I'd ever get my stuff on the radio, let alone it be track of the month on a BBC station at that, bloody hell. But yeah, man, other than that, I could just say something is cooking. You know, I've got some stuff in the works, but I would say that's my biggest flex.
I like this. We got a pre-flex. We get, like, just keep watching for the actual flex. Okay, I like that. I like that. We got, it's like that old movie, Minority Report. This is the crime before the crime. We get a chance to see it happen. That's what's up, man.
Funny, man.
Now, one thing I want to do, man, I don't want to eat up too much of your night. I know you have a show tomorrow.
Nah, we're good, man. Combo's flowing, bro. Yes,
but
yeah,
yo, this thing has just been going. So I just want to give you the floor right now, because I got one last question, and I think you are a person that a lot of people can learn from, especially in this music industry. I don't care where you're from. So I am not a musician, but I know a good number of musicians listen to this show. What advice would you give fellow musicians that's in the game, trying to break into the industry? What advice would you give them, I mean, with their stuff going forward? Just general advice. Sorry to put you on the spot. I know.
No, it's good, man. It's good, you know, because I usually say, I've been asked this before, and I usually say, don't be entitled. You know, don't be entitled. Nobody owes you nothing. But I feel that gets said around by many other people. So it is true, but it's not a new truth. I'm just trying to think what else. Just express freely. Express freely. Don't hold back. But also think as well, at the same time, like, you're leading people, you know? Where you, like, I'm all about music with substance, man. I'm really all about that. You know, what's the message? Especially in a climate where it's usually that art imitates life, you know? But what we're seeing now, a lot of life is imitating art. A lot of people is trying to live how they see on the screen and the movies. And people are, you know, we're just giving people fantasy. But there's a way in which you can feed people with reality, you know, and empower people. Because really, we go on the backs of people that's gone before us. So, and I'm trying to be a strong, tall pair of shoulders, figuratively, because I ain't tall, but figuratively, for somebody else to go on from what I've done and do even further things and even greater things of impact. So yeah, like, how you lining up your people, get your team together. I've got a social media growth plan, as well as a release plan, you know, especially for any artists that are just kind of starting out in their journey. So if you throw up my music in your story, you know, anything off the Collindale tape, and tag me, and then DM me saying you've done that, I can email you that for free. That's something that I can say to your artists as well.
I appreciate that, man, because that's going to turn a lot of people on, and I like that idea. Speaking of which, since we're on the subject, you mind if we play a couple of tracks throughout this podcast so people can get a little taste of it? This is not the full, I just want to play it, if it's okay with you.
Yeah, man, for sure. Let's get it started. As long as track three and track one is mentioned, I'm happy. Let all yourself right. And cold.
Oh, okay, cool. Babies, man. I mean, like, that was going to play, because I kind of want people to hear Cold, especially since we've been talking about it, and especially since, you know, I mean, it just would feel weird if we're talking about this thing that they have not heard. They need to go and listen to it right now. Wait, let me rephrase that. Wait till after the interview, wait till after the podcast, then go and go get it. All right, there we go.
Yo.
All right, but before you get out of here, I want to give you the floor one more time. Please plug anything you want to plug, all things into Paul Sandu. I need all of that, your IG, your Twitter. Just throw it out there for the people.
So, Instagram first is InderPaul, InderPaul underscore Sandu, SANDHU. So that's at InderPaul underscore Sandu. Twitter is just at InderPaul Sandu. Facebook, iPaul Sandu. Punching my name into YouTube. Punching my name into Google, man. You'll come across some stuff. And yeah, man, if you like the sound, please, please, please share that with your peoples. Go onto my Instagram and tag your mom, your dad, your auntie that you don't talk to no more, your fish, if he has Instagram. Tag as much of your peoples in the trailers and stuff, man, because, yeah, I got a voice, man. I got a voice, and I want to share it with the world.
And I'll make sure I put it on our stuff, especially when this podcast come out. But Indepaul, man, thank you so much for just staying up late with us. And thank you. And just keep, man, just keep going, keep shining, keep doing your thing. Man, much success. And thanks for staying up with us. Thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Thank you for having me, Sam, bro. And likewise to you, fam. Strength to strength, glory to glory, blessing to blessing, win to win, man. Win to win.
All right, thanks.